to operate and function beyond their human abilities and intellectual for the glory of God and for the purposes of God's kingdom. It is by gifting men that God advances his kingdom. If we are not gifted by God, then we cannot fight the enemy. If we have not been given the authority by God, we cannot fight the enemy. God gifts men. He gives gifts to men. And we saw last time, I told you one thing, that God gives you a gift, but it is by application and the practices of those gifts that you begin to grow in those gifts and use it to its fullest measures. And we saw from Matthew 25 that how from the parable of talents, why the third servant was not using the gifts. So we will not go into that. So we learn from that parable that why so many believers are not using gifts, are not able to use their gifts. And we see that in that parable, every servant is given something. That means that every believer is given gifts, but people don't use that gifts. The reasons why they don't use it, we saw the revelations from those parables. Hallelujah. Okay, now there were the gifts that were given to Moses. And I showed you how the gifts and the authority that was given to Moses was classified into four categories. The rod, which was the authority, the working of signs, wonders, and miracles to break the pride and arrogance of Pharaoh. The authority to defeat the water limits that kept Israel captive, and the utterance to speak God's word. And we saw how God gives you gifts, and God allows you to use those gifts for a certain season in your life. Maybe God has given you four gifts, but the first gifts he allows you to use for a certain season in your life. Exodus chapter number 8, verse number 16 to 18. That is where God asked them to stop, means God did not ask them to use the rod against Pharaoh. So let's go to the word. So there were four visits that was made by Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh's palace. And all the four visits, they had to use the rod. And after the fourth visit, they did not use the rod, because the realm of battle was shifted from the serpentine and the marine spirits to that of the flesh. So the first gift was not used, and then it shifted to the second gift that Moses had, that was against the pride of Pharaoh. So let me show you something there. I have already explained those things, so I am not speaking on those things in detail. Exodus chapter number 8. Let me show you there something from the scripture. Exodus chapter number 8. Verse number 16 onwards. All right. So in the first visit, when Moses and Aaron went, God told them to throw the rod and it will become a snake and show them that sign. And you know, their snake swallowed up their rod, swallowed up the rods of the magicians who copied what they did. In the second visit, they had to go and strike the water and it became blood with the rod. In the third visit, the magicians and the sorcerers copied even that gift. In the third visit, they went and they were supposed to strike the river, and the frogs came out of the river. The magicians and the sorcerers even copied that gift. And in the fourth visit, now when it was done with the snakes and the water, that means the realms through which the sorcerers and the diviners and the magicians of Egypt operate, God shifted the battle to the ground. God said, strike the ground with your rod, and lice will come out of it and will cover all of Egypt. When they performed that fourth visit sign, the magicians and the sorcerers were not able to copy it. When the magicians and the sorcerers were not able to copy that sign, they came to Pharaoh and said, "Surely this is the finger of God." Now that is how a believer is attacked when they start to use their gifts. The devil will make you believe that, oh, your gifts are common. What you are doing, even we, the kingdom of darkness, are able to do. So your gift has no, but the secret is to continue to be faithful in using those gifts. To continue to use that gift. And when you continue to use the gift, the authority you have in that specific gifting increases, even as you continue to use your gifts. And then there comes a time where the kingdom of darkness will bow down to the gift of God that is upon you. They will acknowledge, there will come a time. So the sorcerers acknowledged, okay, this is the finger of God, Pharaoh. We cannot do what these guys are doing. And one of the revelation is the authority of the sorcerers and of the magicians of Egypt, through which they operated the water, the marine world, and the serpentine spirits, was completely destroyed. When the battle was shifted from the water, now God destroyed all their marine and serpentine authorities and shifted the battle from the water to the ground. Now he said, with the rod strike the ground, it will become lies. One of the things that happened, the transition that happened, we will see now in the scripture, now Exodus chapter number 8, the transition that happened because their authority was destroyed, their hold of witchcraft upon the people of Israel was broken. And when the hold of witchcraft upon your life is broken, something happens. God separates you from the enemy so that what will come upon the enemy will not come upon you. Because you are separated when the witchcraft of marine and serpentine spirits are broken upon your life. Let me show you that is why I came here in Exodus chapter number 8. So it says, now listen to this. Exodus chapter number 8, let's read verse number 18. Let me use my other Bible. Okay, hold on. Let me use this version. Exodus chapter number 8, verse number 18. Now the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lies, but they could not. So there were lies on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. And the Lord said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. Then say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me.'" This is the fifth visit after the lies thing. "Or else, if you will not let my people go," now listen to this, "I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants, on your people and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, also the ground and on which they stand." Verse number 22, very important. Verse number 22. "And in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen." I will what? "Set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land." Verse number 23. "I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be. He will make, God says, "I will make a difference between my people and your people." When did that happen? It did not happen in the first visit. It happened at the fifth visit. What is the significance of the fifth visit? The fifth visit was when the authority of witchcraft was broken upon Israel, that God was able to separate the enemy and his own people, so that what comes upon the enemy will not come upon his people. That is what happens when you are delivered from the witchcraft. That is what happens when you are delivered from the witchcraft of sorcery, from the witchcraft of marine spirit. What will happen is you will see the calamity coming upon the wicked. You will see the calamity coming upon those people who don't walk in the Lord, but it does not come upon you because God has separated you when you are delivered from their witchcraft. When you are not tied with their altars, when you are detached, when you don't stand in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit with in the seat of the scornful, nor walk in the counsel of the ungodly and stand in the path of sinners. Are you understanding? Separation is powerful. God, it says, I will separate the land of Goshen where my people stay from you. When the witchcraft was broken. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah, people of God here? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when the witchcraft is broken, when you are delivered from the witchcraft of Egypt, what happens is you will see a separation. It says, I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be. How Israel came till year, where the witchcraft was broken. And from now onwards, you read your Bible, and you will see God did not ask these guys to use the rod. Only at the last time when they had to part the Red Sea. You know, until then, in all the plagues, the rod was not used, because that certain gifting of the rod of God that was given to Moses was only for a certain assignment. I have seen that in my life. There was a time in my life where I operated in the evangelical gift. When I started off, I operated in the evangelical gift. Whichever office I used to go, everyone came to know Jesus. Evangelical gift, there came in a point in my life where God allowed me to use the prophetic gift more. There came a point in my life where God allows me to use the teaching gift more. And every gift has a certain season. People of God, do you understand these things? Do you understand that God will ask you to use that gift for a certain season, for a certain assignment, then another gift for a certain assignment? That's why I'm teaching you about the gifts that were given to Moses, how the gifts that were upon him were used in certain seasons. Hallelujah. Amen. And you got to recognize that you will recognize that when you walk with God, when you hear from him. So that is what happened. That is what happened. Okay. Hallelujah. All right. So we already saw the reasons why believers are not able to operate in gifts. I'm not going to go into that. We heard that last Friday, why believers don't use their gifts. And so you can refer, those who are not there, you can refer when it is put on the internet. But one of the things that even when you are ready to use the gift, you are selfless, you are fulfilling all the conditions where a believer can use the gift, we saw from the parable of the talents. But then using and operating in the gifts of God is not easy. That's what I told you. As soon as you start to operate in the authority and in the gifts of God, you will face attacks. What kind of attacks? Attacks to stop you, attacks to stop you from using and operating in those gifts. That is the next part we want to go. The attacks against your gifts. Okay, hear me out. Before going into the several kinds of attacks, what I want to tell you is the enemy does not want you to use and grow in your gifts. So he will attack you mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually through different ways. Amen. The thousands of believers, 50,000, 60,000, sitting in the mega church, no one knows that they are supposed to hear from Jesus directly for their lives. No one knows that. All they have is the fantasy to come on the Sunday church and see their pastor perform on the stage, and they think that God is pleased with them. You need to hear Jesus personally for your lives. You need to know that God has given you gifts. That's not a body of Christ. That's an organization where the organization of chains, shackles, and bondages. That there are so many chains, and all the chains are tied with one altar in the church. It's not connected to the head that is Jesus, and Jesus, the head of the body, sending commands to the members of the body, and every part of the body is able to function. But the structure of the church in the Western countries, and now also in India, and in the countries here, even in Pakistan, the structure of the church is been laid as not Jesus as the head. And you know, how is our body structured? We will see that in the 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, where Apostle Paul talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the members of the body. And he talks about Jesus as the head, and even the finger having the function, even the mouth having a function, the eyes having a function, and Jesus. So one of the things that we learn how the body of Christ is supposed to look like is every member of the body is supposed to function, is supposed to move in the realms of the Spirit, is supposed to function. But the church today has been given a manipulated structure by the devil and by the so-called pastor, where the whole body is paralyzed. And only the head, that is the person, the altar of the church, is holding them captive. And a whole body, no one functions in the church. Only the head functions. You know what is that? That is called a dragon system, a beast system. Hallelujah. That is the dragon system. That is the beast system. You know how the beast system looks like? Seven heads, 10 horns. It is the heads that function. It is the heads, not the body. That is the demonic system. But on the contrary, what is the church system? The church that Jesus laid out the pattern for, the whole body function. But in a demonic system, only the head of the dragon will function. Do you understand that? So the members of the church have no rhyme or reason why they believe in Christ. They don't know. They don't hear personally for God. They only know that our pastor preaches and we get coffee. We have Starbucks in our church and we have all those sort of things. We have Sunday school for our children and this and that. They have no personal relationship. They don't know what gifts they carry. They don't understand that the church is a body and the whole body is supposed to function. That is the ministry of the saints. Because of which Jesus, when he ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men, so that some will be apostles, some will be prophets, some will be teachers, for the equipping of the body of Christ, till the whole body comes to the unity of the faith, for the work of the gospel. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are we understanding the difference?
Yeah.
The body of Christ and the beast system. Many of the church's pattern you can recognize. It's not the body of Christ. It's a beast system. Hallelujah. And believers don't... Everyone say tonight, once again, those people who are here, everyone say, I am gifted by God. Everyone confess that. Say, I am gifted by God. Yes, you are gifted by God. Hallelujah. Yes, you are gifted by God. You are gifted by God. Every member of the body, you got to realize you are gifted by God. And you got to use those gifts. And I am telling you, there may be a class of some people who have never used the gifts. There may be many people who have used their gifts but stopped using it. They are not using it anymore. You know why you are not using those gifts? Because you don't think that your gifts are significant to the body of Christ, or you don't think that your gifts are useful for others. And why do you believe that? Because when you started using your gifts, you were attacked. When you started to use your gifts, you were attacked so that you don't use those gifts. So let's start off. What did I say? The enemy does not want you to use and grow in your gifts. So he will attack you mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. First attack first attack is, what is the first attack? The first attack is, your gifts will not be recognized and acknowledged by people in your family, church, and others. Your gifts will what? Will not be recognized. That is the first attack. Your gifts will not be recognized and acknowledged by people in your own family. Maybe your husband, your children, or people in your church, your pastor, your mates in the church, your prayer people in the church, prayer friends, or other friends. Rather, they will criticize it to make you feel that the gifts you have are fake and useless. Hallelujah. The first attack is, your gifts will not be recognized and acknowledged by people in your family, church, and others. Rather, they will criticize it and make you feel that the gifts that you have are fake and useless. And many people stop there because their gifts, when they used it, when they said about the gift, when they tried to use their gifts in the beginning, they were not acknowledged, they were not recognized, and they started to feel, I think these gifts are useless because I'm not acknowledged, I'm not recognized by people, or people are not benefiting, rather they are doubting it. Genesis chapter number 37. Genesis, hallelujah. Genesis chapter number 37, verse number 5-11. Verse number 5-11. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So Joseph was gifted. Do you know that? He was gifted in dreams and vision. He was gifted to interpret dreams and vision. He was gifted to see dreams and vision. He had a gift to dismantle the mystery of a person looking at having a dream of a night. He had that ability, that gift upon him. So once he had a dream, and what did he do? The closest people to him were the brothers. He went and told the brothers the dream. You know, this is the dream I had. Joseph had a dream and he told it to his brothers. And they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. That is the first attack. That is the first attack. Your hallelujah. When you start to operate in your dreams, when you start to operate in your gift, whatever gift you have, you will see that your closest members are not thinking that you are gifted. Jesus said, a prophet is not acknowledged in his own country. The mighty gifts that Jesus carried, the anointing that Jesus carried, was not acknowledged by his own countrymen, was not acknowledged by them. They did not believe him. But Jesus was not like a person who stopped there and cried, oh, you know what, my own countrymen don't acknowledge, I think these gifts are useless. No, he continued to use and operate in his authority, operate in his gifts. Even though men rejected him, he continued to use those gifts. I'm telling you, when you started to use your gifts, you thought you will be acknowledged or you will be mentored, but the person you thought, the pastor who will mentor you, the person who will mentor you, the family who will acknowledge your gift, they started to reject the gifts that were upon you. Don't stop there. That is the first attack where believers don't operate in those gifts at all because men rejected their gifts. Amen. Can I have an amen from you? Or am I speaking to the right people or to the wrong people? I don't know. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. The first attack that will happen is, it says the brothers of Joseph hated him. Why? Because he had that dream. He had that dream. It says they hated him all the more because of the dream and because of his words that he spoke. The dream and the words, it's the part and the components of the gift because of which the family of Joseph started to hate him. This is how intensive is the desire of the devil of not making you use your gift. That is the first attack. Then he dreamed, verse number 9, let's see. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brother and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Now, when you read Genesis chapter number 37, you will see that Joseph was loved by the father. The one person in the family who loved Joseph, so much, was Jacob, his father. He loved Joseph. He loved Joseph a lot. But now, at the second dream that he shared with his family, and then with the father also, you will see the person who loved him so much is the person who rebuked him for his gift. So that is how the attacks will be launched. You might think, oh, this person would acknowledge. This is the person who loves me and he will acknowledge. But the person who loves you will rebuke you for your gift. Ah, what are you doing? I don't want to share the things of my life. I know that when I started to use the prophetic gift, when I started to use the gift of visions, the place where I was using it, the people were completely unaware of those gifts. No one operated, no one spoke in tongues there. When I started to speak in tongues, no one. But the pastor was a Bible-believing pastor, partially believing the Bible. So in the beginning, they started to acknowledge because whatever I was doing was in the Word of God. But slowly, slowly, they started to attack. And once I had a dream, I went on a tour. I used to work those time. And so when I went on a 2 days fast and locked myself, and after the 2 days fast, I slept after finishing it. And I had a dream. And the dream was so real that even after that, I got up from the dream. What I felt in the dream was the sensation was still in my body. I saw myself standing in the church, standing in that church, and in the front rows, and worship was going on. Something was going on, like worship on the stage. So I was worshiping, and then the Spirit gave me utterance to speak in tongues. When I started to speak in tongues, there was someone in the church beside me. And the person looked at me like this in the dream. And I also looked at the person. And then I recognized this person is a demon. And the person had a very long pointed finger like this. He took that long pointed finger and pierced in my stomach like this. So when he pierced that in my stomach, the tongues that I was speaking, because of the pain, the voice lowered down. And I was struggling to speak in tongues. So I started to call out the members of the church. You see, what is this person doing? Come and pray against this. This is a demon. This is coming against the work of God. But the members of the church came and they were just looking like this and doing nothing. And while I was struggling to pray in tongues because of the pain, I woke up from the dream. When I woke up from the dream in the physical, the pain was still there, as if someone had poked my stomach. And then slowly, slowly it left. And then I said, Lord, that was the beginning when I started to use my gifts. When God gave me gifts, I started to see vision. Just the beginning, just very fresh, very fresh. When I started to see visions, pray in tongues. So I got up and say, Lord, I started to use the gift. And what is this happening? What is this attack and this and that? The Lord spoke to me. These things will keep on happening. It's a battle. get up and fight against that spirit. So I used to get discouraged that time. Oh, this attack, that dream. Whenever I start to use gifts, start to fast, I get such kind of demonic dreams, horror dreams, terrifying dreams. Lord, what the Lord said, these things will, you have to get used to it, he told me. Don't cry about it, he told me. He said, those were the beginnings where I learned, where God started to train my hands for battle. And then slowly, slowly, I started to get used to it. Very used. And now I'm so used to it. It does not bother. That was around 8 years ago that I started to operate in those gifts. And then the Lord told me, you know what? There is the spirit in your church that does not want the move of the Holy Spirit to come in the church and fights the speaking in tongues in your church. After that very dream, I don't know the pastor, the people completely. They were different kind of people. Completely. The pastor came and said, no one should speak in tongues. Whoever is teaching you to speak in tongues, whoever teaching more. He said, more than the gifts of the spirit, we need the fruit. So don't concentrate on gifts. Concentrate on the fruit. And they are learning about the fruit from 10 years in the church, but no one is showing forth the fruit of the spirit. Only they are reading about the fruit of the spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is not even evident in their lives. So that is the devil attacked when I started speaking in tongues. The devil attacked when I started speaking in tongues from the people whom I thought, oh, they are the one who will understand that there is a move of the Holy Spirit coming in the place. So whenever you become the prospect of God in a clan to deliver the clan, the devil will launch attack against you. Whenever you become the prospect of God as a gifted woman, as a gifted man in your family, and then you start to get close to God and you get gifts from God with which you will start to deliver your family, the devil through the family will attack you. Hallelujah. Come on, people of God, strong. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I could have gone every sermon that I teach. I could have gone more deeper if the group could have been on fire. But I go to a certain level and then I have to stop. But certain revelations are dependent on the response of people. So I when the response is good, because there is no fire here, so I stop there. I don't go deeper. Maybe God has kept those revelations for another season. And at that season, I will preach those revelations. So the first attack when you start to use your gifts, the father of Joseph, Jacob, who loved Joseph, was the one who rebuked Joseph for using his gifts. He rebuked Joseph for using his gifts. So the first attack that you will face for using your gift is your gifts will not be recognized and acknowledged by people in your family, church, our family, church, and others. Rather, they will criticize it to make you feel that the gifts you have are fake and useless. But your God, you know, anyone tells you, there was one old pastor, you know, when I started to use that, he visited old pastor. This pastor used to come and pray for my family. And then I told him, Pastor, I saw this, I'm seeing vision. And the pastor became so skeptical. So, if people say, if some pastor, then the pastor started to pass on messages on to me on WhatsApp. But one thing I would do always, that I would not reject the words of men when they say in the name of the Lord, we are speaking in the name of the Lord. This is what the Lord is saying. You should stop this. You should do that. You should not do like this. You should stop those seeing those visions. You should stop speaking in tongues. You know, when the Lord is telling you, that they used to tell me, the Lord is telling me to tell you. The Lord is telling me to tell you. So one thing that I will do is, whenever anyone comes and say, the Lord is telling them, let me verify. I would, since I have a personal relationship with my God, I also can hear my God. I will go, Lord, are you telling him to say all these things? The Lord will say, no, I did not tell him. Continue in your gifts. So I will continue in my gifts. I will continue in my gifts. I will not stop using my gifts. I am telling you, intensive attacks will be launched. Intensive. If some of you people come, I don't know which kind of churches you come from, but if you come from a kind of a Yeah, they believe in the Bible, they read the Bible, but some churches don't believe in speaking in tongues. So if you start to speak in tongues, you will be persecuted there. You will not be allowed to speak in tongues in those congregations. Because there is a lot of misconceptions going around. Oh, tongues cannot be spoken if it is not interpreted. There are so many people coming and saying so many things about tongues. But I am not going to talk about tongues. But I have taken sermons, two parts about tongues. That is decluttering the misconception about tongues and the varieties of tongues. I have explained everything in that. And yes, we have to speak in tongues when we come together. We can speak in tongues when we come together. And what the scriptures that are quoted from 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, where Apostle Paul writes some statements, it is to the church of Corinthians, because the church of Corinthians were operating in demonic giftings and also in godly giftings. So to differentiate, he was telling place and order in the church, because you are creating a circus in the church. No one knows what people are speaking. That's why the message was to a certain kind of church. But if he had to write that to a matured church who operate in the spirit, he would have not told those things. So we have to understand those things. And then he writes one thing: if anyone speaks in tongues, do not forbid that person to speak in tongues. Do not forbid a person who are using the gift. Yeah, if they are using the gift wrongly, they can be corrected, but do not forbid a person who are speaking in the other side of it is people who operate in demonic gifts. We will come to that at a later part of the sermon. But that is the first attack on people who start to operate in the gifts, that you will not be recognized and your gifts will not be acknowledged by the close people. The second attack comes, and the second attack is people will just use you because you are gifted, and then forget about you and not fulfill their commitment towards you. But people will just use you because you are gifted for their benefit. Hallelujah. People will just use you because you are gifted. That has happened for a big phase in my life, where people just used me, and God allows it to happen, I'm telling you. God allows it to happen because so that you can overcome the hindrances, attacks, and become more powerful in your gifts. People will just use you. I cannot say how many times I was used because only they acknowledged my gift, but truly they did not love me as a person. But people just used me because I was gifted. Just a use and throw. That is what will happen. And many believers stop to use their gift because they feel betrayed. They feel, oh, you know what, I'm use and throw. They no longer use their gift because they feel that people are just using them for their gifts. Genesis chapter number 40. Turn with me to Genesis chapter number 40. Verse number 1 to 23. Can someone read that for me? Genesis, it's a big passage of scripture, verse number 1 to 20, the whole chapter, Genesis chapter number 40, verse number 1 to 23. And everyone listen to it very carefully. It's again about Joseph.
I'll read it. It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt, and Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain. Wow, what happened here? I think it just, it was 40, right?
Yeah, 40, you are on verse 3.
Okay, number 3. Yeah. Just jump like that, wow. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house all that he had.
Genesis 40. You are reading Genesis 40?
Wait just a minute.
40.
I'll read it
Yeah.
Okay, I'll read it. Okay, go ahead. I don't know.
Okay. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them.
Yeah.
And he served them, so they were in custody for a while. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them. Each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with them in the custody of his Lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they said to him, "We each have had a dream, and there's no interpreter of it." So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and he said to him, "Behold, in my dream, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded. Its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said to him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, "I also was in my dream, and there were 3 white baskets in my hand. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of their baskets, out of the basket on my head." So Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation of it. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang it on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you." Now it came to pass on the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among the servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him.
Hallelujah. Amen. Did you see that?
Amen.
Okay, so that we know that scripture, we know that chapter. So Joseph was mightily gifted in dreams and visions, like Daniel was also gifted in dreams and vision. But one of the things I want to bring to your notice from this chapter, of one of the things that you require to continue to operate in your gifts, is you have to continue to be joyful in the Lord. Now, how come we know that Joseph was joyful, continuing to be joyful in the Lord? Because in verse number 7, it says that these guys were sad. Who? The butler and the baker in the prison. And Joseph was the one going around. And when he came to them, he said, "Why are you looking so sad?" So he was a joyful person looking around in the prison to look out, to encourage people and to help people. Even in the situation where he was completely rejected for his gifts by his own family, and he was accused of rape, where even in the house of Potiphar, what he was doing is by the gift of God, administration in the house of Potiphar, he was managing the house. Joseph had the gift of dreams and visions and interpretation, and Joseph had a mighty gift of administration. He could carry out major complex administrative systems. That is why he was able to manage the surplus of 7 years and could keep the surplus of 7 years for another 7 years. And you know how much of logistics and transportation and preservation is required? Those skills are required in keeping the surplus of 7 years and using it for another 7 years to distribute it properly, not only to the people of Egypt, but also to other nations of the world. So he had a mighty gift of administration on himself by God. Do we understand that? So before you come into a season where your gifts will be acknowledged and your gifts will be rewarded, you go through a season, a long one, where your gifts are rejected and people use and throw you for your gifts. But you should not be sad, but you should not be depressed. You should continue to be joyful and continue to use your gift to benefit other people. Continue to use your gift to benefit the body of Christ. However, you are just a boy, you are not acknowledged, whatever. I was not acknowledged. What I'm doing now, giving you teachings and you guys are listening to me, I was not like that. But when even I did not have a congregation, I used my gift. And when I started to use my gift through a season of rejection, through a season of people using me and throwing me, God takes you into that season where those gifts for which you were rejected are now recognized by the nations of the world. That is what happened with Joseph.
Amen.
Do we understand that? So when you, this is what I'm teaching you, when you start to use your gift, the first attack is your own family, your own close people whom you think they will acknowledge me, they are the ones who will reject you for your gift. The second attack is people will start to use you and throw you. Use you, get the benefit out of you, and when it comes the time to fulfill their commitment towards you, they will forget about you. They will not do it for you because they just used you for your gifts. And many believers stop using their gifts because they are heartbroken. They are betrayed by people. I will no longer use the gift. I will no longer do these things. But Joseph was joyful even in that, at that situation. So look at verse number, have a look at verse number 14. Joseph, after he interpreted the dream of the chief butler, he says to him, verse 14, "But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me, and make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon." So he said, when this interpretation comes to pass, "I remember that I helped you, and please make mention of me to Pharaoh." But the Bible says in verse 23 that the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Hallelujah. Do we understand that? If you used your gifts that God gave you and people were benefited, and even after that you were in the same place, but people rose, people got rescued, people got delivered, people got blessed, people got prospered, people got money because of your gift, but they forgot about you. They rose, but you were at the same place. Don't be discouraged. Continue to use your gifts. That's an attack. That's an attack. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Do we understand that? Okay.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Joseph went, if you look at the life of Joseph, he went through a long season where he was rejected, he was ignored, he was forgotten, but he continued to use the gift. Now the third attack. One of the things that I told you, that for you to operate in your gifts, you should not be depressed. If your mind is depressed, you have to understand that the joy of the Lord is what? Our strength. And that is the strength that gives you the ability to operate in supernatural gifts given by God. So whatever is happening to you, you have to continue to be joyful and continue to bless people, even though you don't get anything in return from people. I'm telling you, those people will not reward you. God will reward you when your season comes, when you step into that season. Unimaginable, surprising rewards will be released by God himself. But you have to overcome the attacks which the devil uses to come against you, to stop to you using your gifts. So the third thing and the second lesson in the third attack that I want to tell you is, if you are gifted, you shall have a strong prayer life. Yes, first in the last categorization of attack, I told you should be joyful, you should not be depressed, you should overcome depression. The third attack is that, and the second lesson that we learn from the third attack is, if you are gifted, for your gifting to operate accurately, it has to be backed up with a strong prayer life, beloved. With a strong prayer life. Otherwise, there will be the mixing of your flesh in the things that you do through your gifts. There will be mixing. I know many people who don't have a strong prayer life, and their gifts started to be watered down, started to diminish, because the gifts, the mighty gifts they carried, was not backed up with a strong relationship in prayer with the Lord. One of the example is Samson. He had a gift of might from the Lord. Single-handedly, with the jawbone of a donkey, he could kill 1,000 Philistines. That was the gift of might from the Lord. But the anointing on his life was not backed up with a strong prayer life, with a strong relationship with holiness, because of which he failed, because of which his gifts dwindled down. You know, when even when you disobey the Lord, the gifts still exist. But the thing is, your convictions are not in place. Your mind is against the Lord, so the gifts don't operate. The gifts don't operate at that time. Okay, let me come on the third attack. What did I say? I said, if you are gifted, you shall have a strong prayer life. Why? Because jealous people will try to pull you down and even kill you because of your gifts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Let me tell you one thing. The mighty the gift upon you, the heavier and intensive the attack will be against you. Because if there is a mighty gift upon you which can impact the nations, there will be people, jealous people that will arise, who will not only try to pull you down, but even try to kill you. That's why, along with your gifts, you should have a strong relationship with the Lord. Because if you don't have a strong relationship with the Lord, you know what will happen? You will die early with your gifts. Along with your gifts, you will go away. Hallelujah. Let me show you what I'm saying. Daniel chapter number six. Be careful, people with great giftings, because there is a chance that you will pass away from this earth with your great gifts if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, because people will be against you. Daniel chapter number six. Let me read that. Daniel chapter number 6. Let me read from verse number 1. Now we know about Daniel. Daniel was another man like Joseph, who had the gift to explain enigmas, to explain mystery writings, to explain interpretations of dreams and visions. He was gifted. And then he was also gifted in what? In administration. Because he was the best in the office work of administration. The best one. Okay, Daniel chapter number 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, to be over the whole kingdom and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the king gave thought to set Daniel over all the satraps and administrators to elevate his position. Give him authority. Verse number 4. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions." Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. The jealous people who were jealous of Daniel, why? Because Daniel was a gifted man. Daniel distinguished himself above the other workers in the kingdom. Daniel distinguished himself to be on the top because he was gifted. It was not his own ability. The Bible says he had a spirit in him, which was called excellent, because of which he was distinguished above other people. It was a gift from God. It was a gift of the Spirit of God, an excellent spirit. Do we see that? When we come to the New Testament, there we will see the gift. He had an excellent spirit. And because of which the jealous people wanted to pull him down, and to the point that they wanted him to be killed, to be destroyed. And they, what did they come against to? They came against his prayer life, because a strong prayer life is the backup, is the backbone of your giftings. You will operate in your gifts. You will operate in your gifts because of your strong prayer life, I'm telling you. If you don't have a strong prayer life, if you have the gift of prophecy with no prayer life, if you have the gift of the word of knowledge with no prayer life, the speakings and the utterance will not bring order in the lives of people or direction. It will bring confusion, and maybe there will be the mixing of the utterance of demons in the speakings you do. I have seen so many prophets strongly gifted. I know a prophet who even prophesied on my life. Everything was accurate, but after a point of time, after 1 year, when he came to my house, he said, "You know what? God has told me to come to your house." I said, "Okay, you can come." And he started speaking to my mother, started speaking to me. And everything that he said, I knew it was from demonic spirits, because he had no prayer life. He used to watch television all the time. He used to hang around with friends in the office. If you have gifts of God, you have to live a sanctified, a consecrated life, a crucified life. You need to have a strong prayer life for you to continue to operate in those gifts. Are we understanding that? One of the major reasons that people don't operate in... If you look, people here in this ministry know me from, I think, 3 years. We are going to complete 3 years for this ministry in the coming February 2025, 3 years of this. But people who know me before, some of you are here who know me before that. And those who know me, they know that I have been operating in the gift of the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and gift of prophecy accurately for continuous 6 to 7 years in ministry. Accurately, no mixing, no inaccuracy. Accurately, why? Not boasting about myself. Don't get me wrong. But because we need to have a strong relationship with the Lord. Because we need to live in holiness. Otherwise, the gifts will dwindle down. Otherwise, there will come a point in our life where we have to pass away from God's assignment. And the speakings that we speak will be manipulative, because the gifts of God, the gift of the teaching that I have, is not backed up with a strong prayer life. It's not backed up with a relationship with the Lord. Do we understand that? You have seen many pastors falling down. They once spoke the word of the Lord. They once spoke the utterance of the Most High God, but now they no longer speak. They are still teaching the Bible. They are still prophesying, but there is no conviction. You will understand that what they are speaking is not coming from God. It's an old theory book that they are teaching people. Why? Because their gifts that they carried was not backed up with a strong prayer life. Hallelujah. The third attack, you need to have a strong prayer life. Otherwise, the demons will bring manipulation and the jealous people will pull you down if your gifts are not backed up with a strong prayer life. Are we together until now? Hallelujah. The third attack that the devil uses to stop people to use their gifts. The fourth attack is the enemy will challenge you. The enemy will challenge you and copy you to show that what you do, they can also do to discourage you. That is the fourth attack. The enemy will challenge you. What did they challenge you? About your gift. That you are an average person, common person. What you are doing, other people are also doing. There is nothing different, nothing unique in that we should listen to you or we should acknowledge you. There is nothing. We also do it. Who does that? The agents of the devil do that. They copy you. I am telling you, people of God, there are people in the church who copy tongues to compete with people. They are not speaking in tongues from the Spirit. They copy tongues. That is what was happening in the church of Corinthians, because of which Apostle Paul had to come, take a writing ink, pen, and a paper, and write a letter to the church of Corinthians. Because what they were doing, they used to operate in gifts similar to the Holy Spirit before they came to Christ. Because the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the counterfeit or of it is also in the demonic kingdom. Moses, you can turn your rod into a snake, we can do it. Moses, you can turn the water into blood, we can do it. Moses, you can bring out frogs from the water, we can do it. The sorcerers can do it, because there is a counterfeit of it in the demonic kingdom. So they will challenge you. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Exodus chapter number 8. We have already read that. Exodus chapter number 8. Exodus chapter number 7. In those chapters is what I am referring to, where the sorcerers and the magicians copied Moses. That is called the rod of Jannes and Jambres, which resisted Moses. How? By copying Moses. What Moses can do, we can also do. Listen to me, people of God. When you start to operate in gifts, there will arise people around you, maybe in your own church. Oh, what you can do, we can also do. What you can do, we can also do. And all those stuff. But you should not stop there. You should not think that you are an average person. Nothing unique in that. The Bible says Moses continued to do and perform the word of the Lord and use the gift that was given to him. And there came a point of time that the sorcerers and the magicians were not able to mimic Moses. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you understand that? So the gift that God gives you, you have to understand that similar gifts are there in the devil's kingdom. The word of knowledge that I give, the similar gift can be there in the devil's kingdom. Oh, even I can tell what you are doing. I can tell where the person was. They can say those things. The similar things they can challenge you with. Hallelujah. That is the fourth attack. That is the reason why Apostle Paul wrote the letter to the church of Corinthians about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now let me come to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are the four attacks, people of God. But I want to tell you, you are gifted by God. And you should overcome these attacks. Now let me come to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let me come to the gifts that the Lord gives. And Apostle Paul writes about it to the church of Corinthians. The reason, the intention why Apostle Paul writes that letter to the church of Corinthians, because he wants to differentiate. He wants to differentiate that the gifts that you used to operate when you were heathen, you were worshipping other gods, is not the same that is that of the Holy Spirit. Because the gifts in which you used to operate in the demonic kingdom, the abilities were given by different demonic spirits. But the gifts that you operate in God's kingdom is given by one and the same Spirit. There is one Father, there is one Christ, there is one Spirit, there is one head, there is one body. That is the letter to the church of Corinthians. If you read that chapter, the stress of the chapter, the stressing point of the chapter is one spirit, because Apostle Paul is teaching them. Do we understand that? Okay, let's go there. Let's look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Verse number 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Look at your Bible. I've told this many times. When you see gifts, it's written in italic font. Italic font is the slanting font, because it was not there originally. It was included to give context to the English Bible. So the original script is now concerning spiritual. So Apostle Paul is talking about spirituality to the Church of Corinthians. He says, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one says that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, what he is starting off with, first of all, you know that you were carried away by the idolatry spirit. And then he makes a difference between the demonic spirit and the Holy Spirit. He says, no one speaking by the Spirit of God can call Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. He's making a differentiation. Then he says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now see what the stressing point in this passage is. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are the differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. What is the stress? Same Spirit, same Lord, same God. So what he is trying to teach the Corinthians church, and there are three things there: gifts, ministries, and activities. All right, gifts, ministries, and activities. When we come together on Saturday night to pray together, intercession, that's an activity. Okay, that's an activity. Do we understand that? Gifts, then what is that? Ministry, the teaching that I do, and then I minister the word of God, minister prayer to people, that is ministry. Gift is when I speak about something, or when I give a revelation, that is a gift that I carry. So there are diversities of ministries, there is diversity of activities, and there are diversities of gift. But what is Apostle Paul saying? All the diverse gifts, ministry, and activity is given by one Spirit, the same Lord, and the same God who gives. So that is the stress, because the Church of Corinthians, before they came to Christ, were involved in demonic practices, were involved in divination, sorcery. That was their background. They operated in gifts of divination. They operated in gifts of sorcery, speaking word of knowledge. And they had seen all those stuff because they were into that idolatry practices, where the demons, different kind of demons, different altars, different rituals, not the same Spirit, gave them abilities to do all those stuff. Hallelujah. I know for a year and a half, almost 2 years, I ministered the gospel in remote villages across India. And then when we go in India and tell people this is what the Lord is speaking to us, they stand like this. They are not amazed by the word of knowledge. Those Indian people, when we give them word of knowledge, they are not amazed by it. They are not shocked by it. When we give them, when people get healed, most of them are not shocked by it. Because the same things happens in their Hindu temples. Even those people give them the word of knowledge. Even those people give them the word of prophecy. So it's not new for them. Do we understand that? So the Church of Corinthians, when they started to understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it was not new for them. They were operating in those things already. So this letter was written by Paul to teach them that you need to understand that you are operating in similar gifts, but it's not from those idols and deities. It's from one spirit. Do we understand the stress of the subject? Okay. So you cannot use scriptures from chapter 12, 13 and 14 and say you should not speak in tongues, because Apostle Paul is writing to a chaotic church who is half in demonic practices and who are half in getting into the Lord and learning the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's why he says that don't create a circus and speak in tongues here and there, but let there be an interpreter, because there is a lot of chaos in your church. Because some people were also possessing those gifts when they were into occultic practices before. Do we understand that now? Okay, let me go ahead. Diversities of gifts, diversities of ministry, diversities of activities. Okay, verse number 7. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. What is the word of wisdom? Okay, let me stop here. Let me stop here. So maybe I will cover the gifts of the Holy Spirit and then the functions of the members of the body of Christ the next time. All right. But are we understanding the gifts of the Holy Spirit? The gifts of God. And the church needs to realize one of the doctrines that should come to the church. And maybe I will do a differentiation next time. How to recognize that a person is operating a gift through a demonic spirit and a person who is operating a gift through the Holy Spirit. And let me teach you how the gift of wisdom also operates in the demonic world. The gift of word of knowledge also operates in the demonic world, but on other dimensions of deception and not on the dimension of God's truth. All right? And that the church needs to learn that, because what is coming upon the church is the release of lying signs, wonders, and miracles from the Antichrist spirit. So the gifts will be the one which will be the similar thing in God's kingdom and in the demonic kingdom. And then the church needs to make a segregation. The church needs to make a discernment between those things. Hallelujah. But tonight the Lord wants to speak to people who have gifts here. Someone has the gift. It says desire for spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Especially that you may prophesy. People of God here, I want to ask you a question. Do you desire spiritual gifts? Do you want the gifts of the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit? Do you want the gifts? Hallelujah. Some of you are already gifted. Some of you are gifted in administration. Some of you are gifted in songwriting. Some of you are gifted in worship. Are you using those gifts? Are you using those gifts selflessly? Are you using those gifts to benefit God's kingdom, to expand God's kingdom? Some of you are gifted in support. Some of you are gifted in giving. Some of you are gifted in teaching. There are some men here who are gifted in teaching, but I don't see you trying to use your gifts because you are too busy in your life. You are gifted in teaching. I want men here to come forward and to take the responsibility of teaching the word, teaching the word. Hallelujah. Teaching the word. Men have to come out. Stop getting so occupied in your domestic life. You need to use your gift. How much long will you? And do you want, you remember the person who did not use the gift but kept it buried? What happened to the person? He was thrown in hell because he did not use the gift. He was thrown in hell. So you got to use your gifts, people of God. Some of you are gifted by wisdom. Some of you are gifted to in counseling. Yes, I know people who are gifted in counseling. Sometimes I have the prophetic gift, I direct people, but some people who are gifted in especially counseling apostles, counseling prophets, they sometimes need counsel. I've seen such people. Sometimes God makes them operate in the gift to help me. But after that, they stop using the gift, but because God allowed them to operate in that gift. So I recognize, when I speak to people, I recognize which gift these people have. But I know that they are not operating in their gifts at all. Because sometimes when they speak to me, God allows them to operate in those gifts. Some of you have the gift of visions, gift of dreams, gift of interpreting it. Hallelujah. And you need to recognize your gifts, people of God. You can't be sitting here all the time and with the screen closed and doing nothing and all those stuff. You know, you have to use your gifts to expand the kingdom of God, to impact the nations. Use your gifts, recognize your gifts. Some of you already know, but because you were attacked and what the attacks I told you, because of the attacks, you stopped using your gifts. But you have to, God is saying you are gifted and you have to use the gifts of God. You have to use the gifts of God and become an active member, being commanded by the head that is Christ, functioning for the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, I give you the praise, I give you the honor, I give you the glory. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that when you ascended on high, you said in the word, Lord, that you gave gifts to men, the anointing that was upon you, the authority upon you, Lord. You distributed among men, Lord, upon us, Lord, your body. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, revive your people, Lord. Revive your people. Let your people break out from all domestic affairs of life, Lord, spending time here and there, procrastinating, wasting, and let them prioritize God's kingdom, God's service, God's work, and the house of God. Place your things, Lord, above the things of the world, above the things of the flesh in their lives, and let them have a life, Lord, that pleases you, that they may grow in the gifts that have been given to them in Jesus' mighty name. My prayer to you, Father, is that the people here, Lord, will, Lord, operate in the gifts that you have given them, that the gifts will not be buried, Lord, in the mud, Lord, Father, but they will, Lord, use the talents, Lord, and that their authority will be expanded, Lord, the territory will be expanded, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless them, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, those who desire tonight spiritual gifts, I pray, Holy Spirit, Lord, especially the gift of tongues, those who desire the gift of tongues, Lord, those who desire new languages of the Spirit, pour out on them spiritual gifts, Lord. You are the giver of gifts, Lord. It says, Lord, you said, Lord, if a son asked for bread, will the father give him a snake or a stone? No. So even as much you as a carnal father know to give good gifts to your children, how much more the heavenly Father knows to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Oh, hallelujah. The greatest gift, the Holy Spirit, Lord. Let your people desire the gift, Lord, from you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us not be average believers who read the Bible and have no power, no authority, no supernatural giftings, Lord. Lord, let your people be supernatural, walking in the supernatural. Let them make a difference. And Lord, like Moses and Aaron, let them stand out from the power of the magicians and sorcerers. In the name of Jesus, let Joseph, Lord, like people like Daniel, Moses, Lord, who continued to operate in the gifts that were given to them, and they distinguished themselves above the realm of darkness, and they were acknowledged even by high-ranking sorcerers, Lord, Father. They were acknowledged that they were true servants of God. Father, let us arise, Lord, that the power of darkness will bow down and acknowledge us as the remnant of Christ. That will only happen when we have the Lord, when we have and operate in the gifts of God, backed up with a strong relationship with you and a strong prayer and word life, Father, and with a joyful life in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to give you the praise. We want to give you the honor. And I cover all of us tonight, Lord, and even those who are not here, Lord, with the blood of Jesus. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask this prayer. Amen. Let's shout amen, amen, people of God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless you.